America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined by my guy, Jay Binkley. And, you know, it's funny, we're like, what is it, 2 weeks removed from the almost, I mean, yeah, we're approaching 3 weeks now removed from the NFL draft. The dust has kind of settled a bit. We had rookie minicamp, and now we're about a month away from mandatory camp for the Chiefs. And you got all types of storylines starting to come out surrounding off-season battles at positions and whatnot. And, I mean, you really think about it now, and we're a little bit less than 2 months away from the players reporting to training camp and getting things started for 2024.
Oh, it's crazy. We have OTAs the 20th through the 22nd of May, the 28th and 30th. I mean, it's just boom, boom. And then you've got the 4th through the 7th of June, then the mandatory minicamp June 11th through 13th. Take some time down. Hopefully nobody gets in trouble. Show up to St. Joe and have training camp.
Which
it's
is
like that fast.
Which is really big right now.
Start early because they got the first game.
It's really big just because Rashi Rice just keeps getting in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, just keeps getting in trouble. And so now the Chiefs' first round pick, Xavier Worthy, now is in an interesting position. At rookie minicamp, the week after the draft, he goes out there, first day, a little bit rough, had some drops. Then he kind of picked it up the next couple days, looked real good. A lot of people like him, but people were kind of freaking out about day one a little bit. Some people, not everyone, but some people were freaking out
too much
a bit
about it.
You see that one clip of him dropping a pass, and people kind of freaked out. Like, see, I told you he's not good.
Man.
I just, and it was, it's just like, it's what we've talked about a lot in regards to, how a lot of people try to have the answers way too early with little information and try to find things that kind of affirm their own beliefs about a player as opposed to being objective about what they see and then letting the information speak for itself. They try to speak for the information.
Just stop watching one clip. As they get enamored, yeah. It's a good clip, a bad clip, and then all of a sudden we see these receivers make catches, great catches. You're okay, who are they playing against? They're playing against other rookies trying to make the team, maybe an undrafted guy that they brought in, so that's who they're going against as far as corners are concerned. When you drop a pass, it happens. First day, putting on, you know, the NFL gear, and you're out there. I think people forget Ja'Marr Chase, like how much trouble he had. Remember how much trouble he had catching the football when he first got to Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Like he was having problems.
It was a problem.
People were like, is Ja'Marr Chase going to be able to catch the football or not? And, you know, he's able to do it. And obviously, you know, that's a bad example. He's one of the top receivers in the NFL. But he had one of the lowest drop rates in the NFL. He's going to be counted on. The Chiefs are going to have to count on him a lot. And, of course, he's going to be in the return game as well. But, you know, with the impending Rashee Rice suspension, it's going to happen. Adam Schefter kind of alluded today that it could happen early on. Like, they have the best situation for the Chiefs is get out of the way early in this season. I think that would be the best than to sit there and wait and wait and wait and not get the production there from Rashee Rice. But, you know, clearly this is not what they had in plan. I'm sure Rashee Rice had in plan for his first part of his second year and what he learned from last year. But, yeah, Xavier Worthy is going to be called upon to perform for this team. It's not just, hey, they drafted Xavier Worthy in the first round. No, they spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver. They expect him to be good.
You know, we had this debate last year, how much pressure Rashee Rice had going into the year to perform. You said he had a lot just because there wasn't a whole lot of guys ahead of him like in previous years, like we saw with like Sky Moore in 22. I said he didn't because you got to work your way up. There's no pressure at the beginning because they're not giving you time out there. It'd be different if he was like starting and getting time. They weren't. He had to earn that time. I think Xavier Worthy now, I think he's going to have a lot more pressure than any of the rookie receivers that the Chiefs have had over the last few years, just because he's going into a situation right now where the team is going to be looking for him to immediately come in and have some sort of impact, because Rashee Rice, and I think it will happen. I think he will get suspended early on. I think it'll probably happen here within the next couple months or so, unless he keeps getting in trouble. And I think, you know, we'll get that announcement. Maybe it might even happen like during training camp or something, because you know the NFL kind of is like that. They throw out the suspension. The Chiefs are probably planning on not having him for 6 to 8 games or so. And then, you know, you hope that you can deal with that early on. But, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to look at Xavier Worthy and say, hey, you need to step up because, you know, we've been hearing a lot of things about you. We heard, you know, the 4-2-1-40 was really big news. What are you going to be able to do when we put you in the game and we need you to go out there and perform because one of the other young guys we're relying on keeps getting in trouble and is suspended now? I think he's going to have more pressure than any receiver we've seen during this era.
And I can't disagree with that. I think it's going to, when you look at all these things together. I think Hollywood Brown kind of takes some of that away. I think having Hollywood Brown,
it takes some away for sure.
First rounder, you know, playing in the NFL, I think that takes off some of the pressure by Xavier Worthy, but I'm with you. And last year, I felt that was Rashee Rice. And it's right, they took their time with him before he really emerged as the Chiefs' best receiver and kind of proved that wrong with Andy Reid. You can, you know, perform as a rookie receiver, but Xavier Worthy is going to have that because he's a first-round pick. Not only that, but they, you know, they passed, you know, on Keon Coleman that ends up at the Bills. They passed on Xavier Leggett. They passed on A.D. Mitchell. So they passed on these other receivers, and clearly they said, hey, you're our guy, Xavier Worthy. He goes out and gets a tattoo of the Chiefs logo because they drafted him. So, yeah, I think he's going to have pressure on him because it's not like they just drafted him. They drafted him ahead of other guys. And with that comes a little bit of pressure. With that, you're kind of looking, all right, what's A.D. Mitchell putting up? What's his numbers? Because A.D.'s pissed. He's wearing the number 10 for the amount of receivers that are drafted in front of him. Xavier Leggett, you know, people have, and a guy in the third round like Malachi Corley, I think they like. But I think Xavier Worthy will be looking over his shoulder a little bit and how some of these other guys are performing.
And I think that just kind of goes down to, like, the intelligence that he has, and that was one of the things that the Chiefs really touted in the whole in the process after they took him in the first round. The thing they always talked about, his intelligence, how smart he is, how quickly he digests information. And I do kind of agree with him on that. I don't think the Chiefs would have made that move to trade up to go get him if they didn't think he was going to be able to have some sort of impact. But I do kind of still feel like the pressure is going to be a little unfair. Because, like, yeah, Rashee Rice did have a really good year last year. But not everybody's going to pick the game up and pick the offense up at the same level as others. That's just not how it works. Sometimes people take a little bit longer. And I kind of feel like what's going to happen is Xavier Worthy is going to be expected to come in and produce immediately. And if he doesn't, if it takes him a little bit, people are going to look at him and then compare him to Rashee Rice. And I don't know if that's really fair.
It's tough, though. You're the first-round pick that's a wide receiver, right? It's not like they grabbed him in the second round. They grabbed him in the first round, albeit towards the end of the first round. pick 28. So, yeah, so he's not picked, but he is still picked in the first round. I think that does come with some pressure. And then when you think about Rashee Rice, and, you know, in the situation that he would be in, that he has these unfair kind of things put on him, but, you know, this was the Chiefs' addition. I mean, I know Hollywood Brown came in free agency, which I do think helps. I do think that helps bring, you know, some of the pressure off. Last year, Rashee Rice was the new shiny toy that the Chiefs got. They made a decision on a wide receiver. A lot like Xavier Worthy, they didn't go draft 2 and 3 wide receivers. They drafted a tight end, sure, but Xavier Worthy was the receiver that the receiver-hungry team needed to draft. So with that, it does come pressure and expectations.
One thing I will say, though, about Rashee Rice, I just can't think of a time we've seen a receiver this young, this talented, this successful early in their career fumble the bag as much as Rashee Rice is doing right now. Like, had a great rookie year, was second among rookie receivers.
Endorsements are getting ready to flood.
He was looking like he was getting into a position, where he could have the endorsements. He could be in a position where he was able to make a little extra money on the side.
I can see Pacheco going out there and doing, like, Nebraska
NFM, it's Living Space.
Or whatever, Living Space, whatever, but he's getting endorsement
He's getting a little endorsement money.
Not huge national deals, but that's still...
Right, it's local stuff, but hey, it's extra money coming
Rice.
In.
Yeah. It could have been Rice.
And, yeah, I mean, just... It's just amazing to watch someone really kind of screw their life up here so quickly. And I mean, there's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna come out and really dog on him, and he's gonna have to earn the trust back of the fans, earn the trust back of the coaching staff. I mean, if I was Mahomes, I'd be pissed right now.
I'm sure that's
2 incidents here in a month. And, you know, obviously, like, nothing, no charges have come out or anything on him about the nightclub assault.
And who knows? That's so
and
up
who knows
and down
if something ever
as...
happens. But, like, it,
but you're going to be a marked man. That's the thing. I mean, whether he did something or not, which
and the NFL doesn't really care about, like, this. They don't have, like, you know, justice system, criminal court of law type standards for punishing people. For them, it's like, you know, if it's a decent enough case that to prove that you did something, you're going to get suspended for it. And it just doesn't make any sense why you would play around with that if you're Rashee.
There's only one thing that's proven, that's the driving. The other part that's just up to
right,
whatever happens.
Like
so,
I said, and
but
I,
the problem is you become a marked man. Yeah. And once you get in that club where people realize that, you know, you become a target, you got to be careful. You really have to be careful what you do, where you go. You become a target man. You become a marked man that, hey, you know, no one's going to believe this guy. You know, if I say that something happened, no one's going to believe this guy because he's got all this going against him, fair or unfair. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt anymore in these scenarios. And so, you know, right now the Chiefs are in an interesting position where they have kind of been looking at getting a little extra help at wide receiver. They went out and they brought in Zay Jones last week and talked to him about potentially getting some sort, you know, seeing if they can get him in. He ends up going to Arizona, signing a deal with them. I didn't see the terms. I don't know if the terms have come out.
It's like 4.25 would be the top incentives that he could hit. But
so, it's not like a great contract or anything. The Chiefs probably just didn't want to offer him a big number or a big role, because the Chiefs, like, for him, he would be more of an insurance policy. I think, you know, if you want to go get Hunter Renfrow, I'm cool with that. I think he's, you know, could be a good insurance policy. He's a guy I think I would kind of trust a little bit more than like a Kadarius Toney or a Sky Moore right now, because we've seen him actually be a really good receiver before when he was with Vegas. But yeah, I mean, I think at this point now, if you're the Chiefs, you do kind of look around and explore getting a veteran wide receiver that can give you a little bit of boost and take some of that pressure off of Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown a little
bit. I was fine with it because, listen, he's replacing Hollywood Brown. I mean, they're different style of receivers, clearly, but Hollywood Brown down to the Chiefs, so it opens up kind of a spot with Arizona, even though Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to eventually be the bell cow for that team. But it'll be probably more playing time, especially when Rice comes back. You know, how much playing time is he going to get with Hollywood Brown out there and Xavier Worthy? What's going to happen? I do like Zay Jones back from college because he caught everything. He had 158 catches his last year at East Carolina, which is insane. He is the NCAA all-time leader in catches. And a little known fact, Gardner Minshew was actually one of the two quarterbacks they used that year in 2016 before he transferred to Washington State. He had some Gardner Minshew there, but he put up big-time numbers at East Carolina showing, yeah, he was a second-round pick, but he caught everything. And that's the important thing. Zay Jones can go in there and catch the football.
Yeah, like I said, he's not a high-volume target. He was not going to be – he was going to get
a guy here.
He was going to be a Justin Watson type.
Yep.
But, yeah, that would have been some nice insurance. But, yeah, the Chiefs have time. And I think what they're going to really do now – before they really go out and try to make a big signing, I think they're going to try to see what they have with OTAs, with mandatory, and they'll make a decision on whether they really need to go and get another guy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In their receiving
Wait till people get cut, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they might, because there's probably not going to be a ton of cuts right now, but they might. There's still a lot of veteran free agents out there, and you know how the Chiefs are. The Chiefs, they'll take it down to the last minute there as far as signing those guys before camp. So the Chiefs will have no problem kind of waiting this out, seeing where they are at mandatory, and if it doesn't really amount to anything, then yeah, they'll certainly try to go and get an insurance guy there, because you know. But I do think they're absolutely intent on giving Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney a shot to see if they can earn some more playing time, because they certainly didn't earn it last year.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit they have hung tight with Kadarius Toney, a little bit surprised, but in the grand scheme of things, they're not going to say anything negative, because you don't want other teams hearing that. Oh, yeah. That's what Andy Reid said about it. You don't want to hear that. So well, it's all going to be positive when it comes
well,
to
Well, I mean, I just think that's just not – I mean, it doesn't really – because they're not going to trade him.
No.
Like he's so, like, I don't know if it matters with other teams, but I do think –
for his confidence level, I don't think they want
yeah,
to
I think
that.
That's the – I think it's the confidence level. Yeah. Is like, because I do think, like, Kadarius
– he's pretty sensitive.
Confidence is really shot.
He's pretty sensitive.
He is very sensitive, and I think it takes a couple of shots, and he starts feeling yeah. it a little bit. So, yeah, I do think that – it's a good opportunity for those guys to really kind of redeem themselves, and they'll get an opportunity, but I would not discount the Chiefs making another move to try to get themselves a little bit more veteran presence there.
Like a Donovan Smith deal last year.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that for the receiving core. So let's talk about our expectations for the next month or so. We got mandatories coming up in about a month. You got OTAs before that they'll officially be starting and whatnot. They've started their offseason workout program already, and they've kind of been doing that. Obviously, Mahomes has kind of been doing, you know, he did Camp Pat, and I'm sure he's been working out basically nonstop since they won the Super Bowl. And, you know, you kind of look at it now, the Chiefs are in a really interesting spot because won the last two Super Bowls. You did it with a roster that was really deficient in a very important spot with your receiving core. And now you look at that, and yeah, there's still obviously some issues because of Rashee, But as a whole, like once Rashi comes back, if Xavier Worthy can give you something, you're feeling really good about that. And really at that point now, like the only issue I think the Chiefs really have is left tackle.
I think they're really looking forward to seeing with the speed, you know, brings them with having Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy on the outside. If that opens things up for Kelce or, you know, Wiley or Noah Gray, the second and third string tight ends, Noah being the second. But yeah, Kingsley, Sua Mataia.
Strong performance by you. Hey, that was good. That was a good job there.
I didn't just go Kingsley. You know?
You've said it enough now that you can get it right. Good
but
job.
But him and
man.
Wanya Morris, that'll be a camp battle to watch. There's relatively few camp battles to watch. I am kind of curious about the wide receiver order, see which direction they go if and when we find out the Rashee Rice suspension. But left tackle is going to be a battle. And I think Wanya Morris has the upper hand at this point because he was, you know, he was with them last year. They tell him, hey, this guy needs to get better. I mean, they were, you know, giving him tough love. But the bottom line is he's got a year of experience in the NFL and a team that he had four starts under his belt and a team that won the Super Bowl. And he was able to learn from guys like Donovan Smith, you know, and Juwan Taylor that's been around. I know Juwan with the 20 penalties last year didn't help. But with that experienced offensive line and Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney and being able to learn from those guys, I think he has the upper hand at this point. But not saying Kingsley won't give him a fight because I think he will. And I think that the tackle battle is up for grabs. I think deep down the Chiefs, you know, if Wanya Morris has to be a swing tackle for him, I think they're fine. I don't think Kingsley, they look at him like being a swing tackle. Like Wanya Morris. I think Wanya Morris might be pigeonholed to that. I think they look at Kingsley to be a future starter for this team at this point.
So here's the thing that I kind of thought of when you were talking about like the whole Wanya and Kingsley Sua Mataia situation. It would not shock me if the plan is we hope. You know, I think they really are kind of hoping that Sua Mataia wins the left tackle spot at some point. I think that's who they really would like as their left tackle because of the athleticism, because he's a really smart kid, because he was, you know, he fits everything they really like at that position. It would not shock me if they decided after this season, let's move Wanya back over to right tackle. And then we get rid of Juwan Taylor, make him a post June 1. It's still going to be a little expensive, going to cost you a lot, but you can basically cut that cap hit in half and you don't have him on your roster because as you brought up 20 penalties last year. Now he kind of simmered down towards the latter part of the season and
he got better when I stopped picking on him.
Yeah, he got much, but like it wasn't even just the false starts. He had a lot of bad holding calls, like very obvious holding calls, times where he just got beat. Yeah, just bad foot alignment. Just there was a lot of mistakes he made and he's being paid a lot of money. And if you're the Chiefs, you have to make sure you're fielding the best five starting linemen for your roster. And if Juwan Taylor isn't one of your best five, if he is not your best option at right tackle, then you should go with the best option, especially now with the post-June 1 being a very popular way for teams.
You can spread it out over 2 years.
Exactly. Like, if you spread it out over 2 years, the cap hit's not bad. And here's the thing about the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs obviously are going to have some people they got to pay. But, like, going into 2025, they're going to have a lot of options as far as moving money around, as far as cap space goes, especially if they let go of Joe Tooney. They move some money around with Mahomes again like they did this year. They could create a ton of cap space and be able to find a way to use that creatively and improve their roster. Like they're going to have some options after this coming season.
And it looks like they're going to probably keep Juwan one more year. His potential out is 2026.
Right, that's 26. But again, they could get rid of him in a year and just make it a post-June 1. What would be his dead cap hit if they tried to cut him before 25?
If you cut him before 25, the cash annual, $20 million. The cap hit, 24,725. For both years, for 24 and 25. 24,725.
Is that the dead cap hit?
That's the cap hit.
Yeah. For 24?
Yep, annual cap hit.
So, yeah, you could Yeah, like
dead cap would be 29. Dead cap would be $54 million this year, which is not going to happen.
Yeah, that's 29. What I'm saying. That's not going to happen. Yeah, but like, what would the dead cap be going
into 25? Potential out. I mean, 2026, it goes down like 4.7.
Well, yeah, I'm just talking about post June 1 though. Yeah. Like post June 1, that won't matter about 26.
Sorry, he's still on the roster for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. But they could have the option to cut him and cut that in half.
We'll see what kind of year he has. We'll see if kind of because he kind of turned things around mid year, you know, and started looking good, you know, throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if the Chiefs really, really wanted to, if they really felt like Wanye was a better option at right tackle, and Suamataia kills it at left tackle, you could get a lot of money off of your salary cap and get rid of him. Yeah, I'm checking it now. Yeah, the dead cap hit $29 million going into 25. So if you were to cut him, you could make that essentially about 14, 15 million, depending on, I think it's, it basically you split that dead cap in half on a post June 1, and it'd be like 15 million dead for that year, maybe 14 the next year.
And think about Joe Tooney. Like, if for some reason, you know, he leaves after this year, which could happen, and all of a sudden Hunter Norzad, they're really like, man, we got something in center at this guy. And then Creed Humphrey goes over to guard where you had Joe Tooney, which. It's not
or they could, put Norzad at guard instead of center.
And Creed's been great at center as far as pass protection. And
right? Yeah,
like
his only issue. His only issue has been
snaps, but hopefully those can be corrected. But he's not giving up pressures from the center position, and that's right. The key thing.
Right, and that's the reason why, like, the snap thing, I think, is a little overblown.
Yeah.
There were some people speculating he might have had a hand injury of some sort.
He still got the job done.
But he still got the job done. I mean, certainly, yeah, you're going to be working, hey, let's make sure we get these snaps right this year. But, yeah, I definitely think that there are some options there. I think Tooney's probably playing his last year on the team. I think they could save a ton of money. And he's in his 30s.
Or maybe Norzad's that guard.
Yeah,
maybe
that's what I'm saying. Is like
when, you can do both. So
when they took Norzad, immediately I thought potential Tooney replacement. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you know, you kind of see what you have at the other guard position if you decide not to pay Trey Smith. And if you decide not to pay Trey Smith, then yeah, you go and if you don't feel comfortable with who's the kid they got out of Holy Cross?
C.J. Hansen.
Like, if they don't feel comfortable with him playing there, then maybe they go draft another guard next year.
It's a crapshoot. It's a seventh rounder. Who knows? Practice squad. Or
he's a kid
roster.
Who played at Holy Cross. Like, not a lot of guys get drafted
First
there.
Since 89. Yeah, which that's been a minute.
That's what I'm saying. It's before I was born the last time they drafted a Holy Cross player was drafted. So it's like, maybe not a guy that you expect to make the roster. Maybe he's a practice squad guy. Maybe he develops and plays well. But, you know, they did get the one guard that they like, and Norzad seems like a real smart kid, plays a lot of different spots. He's played extensively at guard, at both guard positions, so, you know, you feel comfortable about that. Yeah, I mean,
They hit their needs.
Right. And so I kind of look at that, and I think offensive line, definitely there could be some movement after this year for sure. We'll see what happens. Like I said, you could do a post-June 1 with Juwan Taylor, and you could save a lot of money. You could also... I mean, certainly we're looking at Creed and Trey Smith as some options as well. And so I think a really kind of underground, like what Norzad and Hansen do in camp is going to be really interesting.
Well, Veach said the word Allegretti a couple times when referring to Norzad.
Yeah, that's all he did. Every time he brought up Allegretti.
Which is, Allegretti just proved himself. He had 3 rings with this team, could do center, could play guard, could do anything he wanted.
Yeah.
I don't think he really wanted to put him at tackle, but...
Right, yeah, because I think it was he a seventh round center? I think it was a seventh rounder. So like, you went and got great value out of him, and
from a big school and former wrestler and all this, so right. He had more.
Yeah, so you got great value there. So yeah, I mean, certainly the number one thing that people are going to be looking for is Xavier Worthy, wide receiver. But to be honest, the offensive line to me might be the more interesting position group.
They've rebuilt it once, but almost needs to be rebuilt again.
Almost. They're getting pretty close to where, yeah, they need to
pay up.
They need to rebuild it.
And that's the feats you've been drafting these guys, and then get a sixth rounder, you know, a Jerry Smith. All of a sudden, you got to pay these guys.
It also
they're good picks,
but it also wouldn't shock me if they did decide to pay Trey Smith and they let Creed go, just because, like, if you look at their history with centers, they don't pay centers.
Well, they don't, and not only that, but the market is so nice for guards right now.
It's very good for guards, right?
And became the wide receivers
this
year.
But they paid Tooney.
Is it going to drop next year? It could.
Yeah, they don't pay guards. Like, They let Rodney Hudson go to Oakland. They let Mitch Morse go to Buffalo. They went out and they got Austin Ryder and they used him for a few years. And Ryder was a good center, but he was also a very replaceable center. It's not like he was great. Then they'll use like high draft picks on centers. I mean, Rodney Hudson, second round pick, though. He might have been a Pioli guy, I think.
Was he
a Pioli guy, right?
Yeah, but he was. Because it was 2000.
Yeah, he was Pioli. He was 2011?
2011 or 2012. But the thing about Rodney is he played a lot of guard.
But
they project him as center. He ended up being a very good center.
He's a very good center. And then second round pick on Morse. Obviously, second round pick on Creed. So, like, you kind of see the value there that they had, where they went out there and they used high value picks to go get those positions there. They really do value that position, but they don't pay it. So don't be shocked if Creed ends up being the one that they let go, and then Norzad is the one that ends up being the starting center in 25. Norzad's going to be really interesting to watch.
So what he did at Penn State, it's crazy when he got moved to there, and all of a sudden, second team all Big Ten, and boom, he took off.
Yeah, and again, he played every position except for, I think, left tackle.
Yeah, for Allred, the quarterback there, did a nice job for him.
Yeah, so like I said, that to me is a very interesting development that'll happen in camp. I'm also interested to see the cornerback battle. I don't think the cornerback position's as sparse and as worrisome as some people think. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, they have to draft a corner because they're going to be. First off, I like Kamal Haddon.
He's already made a pick, man.
I mocked him back in the fall.
I know you did. It's our one guy we got.
Yeah, I like Kamal Haddon.
I was going to do it the second time, but he was taken.
Yeah, you were, and then he was taken already. But we both really like Haddon a lot.
He's a ball hawk, man.
Ball hawk. He's big and physical. The guy's really smart, too, very heady. He knows when to, you know, try to rip the ball out and whatnot.
Spags guy, man. The fact that he knows when to take the football away, and he's so good at doing it.
I'm really interested in what happens with Nick Jones, with Nazi Johnson.
Nazi coming back this year. What happens really with him? Because he played in the Super Bowl against the Eagles before he tore that ACL last year.
He was really good. I just think there's the secondary will be probably.
And they really like Nazi because he did a lot of special teams, but there was a lot of high hopes for him last year.
There was a lot. They really were into him, and they thought, like, the hype around him in training camp until he tore his ACL was high. Mm-hmm. It was real big. Everybody was talking about, oh, this kid's going to be really good in the secondary. And unfortunately, he got injured, and it was really a sad thing. But this year could be a big redemption year.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jaden Hicks hit somebody. The safety out of Washington State.
I'm so excited.
Dude, that fourth round, I love the fourth round.
I'm
going to
tell you this. He's going to fly up the depth chart.
He is. He's going to be a guy where you're all of a sudden Justin Reed's like, oh, because Reed's got two rings now.
Reed's in his last year with the team.
This is the way things work, man.
This is his last year on his contract. He's not coming back
this
year.
Jaden Hicks was picked for him, I think. Just like Shamari, kind of Le'Jarius Sneed.
100%, yeah. No, I think basically their whole deal was, and the Chiefs have certain positions they just are not going to, they're not going to pay. Safety's one of them. They'll bring in a veteran safety like they did with Reed, they did with Tyrann Mathieu. But if you're on a team, you're sitting there, they're not bringing you back, bro. Like Juan is ready to go. He knew he was going to be back. Linebacker, they're not, maybe they'll pay Nick Bolton, but they're probably not, they don't pay linebackers like that either.
I went back and listened to Veach before the draft, the press conference. He's like, because he always gives that one nugget.
He always had that one little nugget.
But he's like, you know, wide receivers definitely need, we need to bulk up this offensive line, especially left tackle. I wouldn't mind throwing a safety in there. And then a quarter, like he called his own shot what he did.
We knew that safety was going to be a position they probably hit.
But he specifically mentioned everything he drafted.
Yeah, we knew safety was going to be a position that they were going to hit on
because
Spags really values the safety position anyways. He many times runs three on the field at the same time. He's got no issue with playing a lot of safeties, and he's used safeties a lot in slot coverage. Even sometimes playing the mic on defense there. Yeah, he values it a lot, and I expect Jaden Hicks to get a lot of playing time.
He'll be playing a little off ball linebacker, be doing a lot of different stuff.
Back in here on the Character Concerns podcast, Christian Osero, Jay Binkley. So we got schedule release coming out in a couple days, but, you know, the NFL and all the insiders leak a little bit early, some of the matchups to build some hype. Schedule release time is your baby. You made a big deal out of this well before the league did. And, it was announced today by the league, opener for the season, Thursday Night Football. Chiefs hosting the Baltimore Ravens, the team that they beat in the AFC Championship game in Baltimore, might I add. So now this one is going to be an Arrowhead. And it's interesting because the clock is accelerated for the team that wins the Super Bowl. And this is the reason why it's so hard to repeat as champion, because obviously if you win the Super Bowl, you're playing the latest of anybody except the team that lost the Super Bowl. But then right after that, you turn back around. You're in training camp earlier than everyone else because you're playing in the opener. And then you go and play in the opener, which is 3 days before anyone else. Though this year it would actually just be one day because of the Brazil game with the Eagles and Packers.
The good news is they have those extra days. You know, Friday, Saturday.
Right, yeah, they get a little bit. Yeah, they get a little extra rest.
Kind of nice, because last year they didn't. Remember the first 6 weeks of the season, they had less rest than anybody. So that was the important thing. But obviously, this recorded on Monday night, and we don't know a lot of the answers. Even though the schedule's been trickling games out, we get to see Tom Brady, by the way, in 3:25 with the Cowboys Browns game, the first game of the year. It'll be interesting to watch. But you can sit back and watch some Red Zone and chill out on that weekend and enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking. Listen, Andy Reid, what, 28-3 after the bye in his career? I mean, it's crazy. Yes, he lost the game last year. You say, well, you know what, Jay, look, he had all...
Well, Kadarius Toney lost the game last year.
Yes, he had all summer. Yeah, Kadarius Toney, the Brian
Sky
Branch.
Skymore lost
six.
The game for them last year.
They didn't have Chris Jones. They didn't have Travis Kelce. Right. So the two Hall of Famers you didn't have in that game.
Your second and third best players on the team.
So you didn't have your guys in that game. So yes, that mattered. So, but if you're going to give Andy Reid... Basically, he knows now that it's going to be the Ravens, and Mahomes is 4-1 against Lamar Jackson. So you give him May, June, July, August. You expect good things, and you know what? I expect Baltimore to be there with Kansas City for that one seed at the end of the year.
Me too.
I think this is a huge swing game for both these teams when you think about seeding. And last year, Chiefs got lucky. You know, they beat Miami early on in Germany, and there's because the thought was, you know, Miami was going to take this one seed. They win down in Jacksonville. Peter King and put the Jacksonville's going to be the number one seed. Clearly,
a lot of people did, yeah.
But they won some pivotal games that, you know, were some tiebreaker type. The Buffalo game didn't hurt them because, you know, Buffalo really wasn't there for the one seed.
Not really.
And the Chiefs kind of let things slip away there, you know, for that one seed. But they have Baltimore in week one. Listen, it's Derrick Henry. It's going to be a ground game. You know exactly what they are. They're used to playing Lamar Jackson. The banner's going to be dropped. The Ravens are going to have to deal with the Chiefs. Went in their house and beat them, and now they win the Super Bowl. I'm okay with that. It's just an NFL fan. I kind of wanted Houston. You know, C.J. Stroud, the up-and-coming. Can he be the next guy? Because we're always looking for the next guy. Is it Josh Allen? Is it Burrow? Is it Jack? Like, who wants to be that guy? Can C.J. Stroud be that guy? Because I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing and C.J. Stroud. So, but to be honest with you, either one of them's fine, because I do feel that both of them will be fighting there towards the end. It would be very important for the Chiefs to beat either. So I'm okay with either one, because I think Baltimore's going to be there at the end. And the fact you get them with basically the whole summer of preparation. I know Andy Reid prepares for everybody, but there'll be a lot of emphasis on the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I'm more interested in is what the defense does here, because you got a lot of young guys on your roster right now in your secondary with, you know, you got Najee Johnson, you got Nick Jones, you got Jaden Hicks, you got Kamal Haddon. Like, you got a lot of young guys in your secondary there, Tremari Connor as well. I'll be interested to see, like, who ends up kind of, like, does McDuffie take the Snead rollover that he had last year? And then you kind of
got that first team on pro.
Right. And then you kind of, you know, you kind of mix different guys in the slot, and he just plays exclusively outside or even shadows. I don't think he's going to shadow, but, you know, he could. Or, you know, like, to me, the approach with the secondary is, I think, is going to be really important for the Chiefs. But the thing that I'm going to be so interested in is, now everything you do here on is more important. Camp, you know, mandatory, training camp, off season. It's going to be really important for these guys now. Cause like most of the rookies that are going in and playing this year, there's not going to be a ton of expectations for the team that they play on. Most of those teams are going to be just trying to fight for a playoff spot. Some of those teams have no hope right now. It's different, though, when you get drafted to a team that is coming off of two straight Super Bowl wins and is expected to be in great play, is the favorite to win a third straight Super Bowl. It now everything you do is magnified. Every mistake you make is magnified. We obviously saw that in the opener last year. Kadarius Toney pops a ball up, pick six, ends up being the game-losing play for the Chiefs. You know, Sky Moore had some drops as well. That was magnified. Now you look at that scenario, and Xavier Worthy's got a ton of pressure, like we talked about in the first segment. You're going to have a lot of pressure on those DBs back there because they're going to have to keep up that same physical play style that you saw with the Chiefs last year on defense. There's going to be a lot of people asking, okay, they lost Snead. Can they replace him? The offensive line, there's going to be questions at that left tackle spot. There's a lot of pressure on these kids, man. And this is not going to be easy. And now everything they do in the offseason, especially when they get to training camp, especially when they get to preseason, is going to be heavily scrutinized. And that's a lot of pressure, man.
The good news is the defense is finally getting respect. It didn't earn the respect last year. I don't even think it earned the respect.
Not until the playoffs.
And I think even at Eagles Super Bowl, they kind of took it to heart. You know, they were number two behind the Eagles in quarterback sacks. They were number two this year. It was the second best franchise year for the Chiefs to get into the quarterback. I think the Chiefs surprised everybody how many sacks they had last year and getting to the quarterback. And you had the number two ranked scoring defense in the NFL, and that's the only stat that matters. But then you brought everybody back. Like, you had the Neil Farrell under contract. Then all of a sudden you bring back Turk Warren. You signed Chris Jones, who was the biggest free agent signing, you know, the offseason. To be honest with you, you're happy with your edges. You're hoping to get more out of Felix this year. We've seen George Karloftis, you know, turn that corner and be a formidable guy with double-digit sacks. But you bring back, you know, Derek Nnadi. You bring back this defensive line. You bring back this core. So it's not like they just brought him back. They brought back the number two defensive line. And that's a defense with a lot of confidence. This defense has more confidence than I've seen in Kansas City in decades. I mean, you have to go back to Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and those guys where that defense had that swagger. The defense has always been second fiddle. It's been about the offense and Mahomes and what they can do. And I think that towards the end of the year, the defense started getting a little credit. But it was always kind of funny to me.
It wasn't until the playoff wins.
Because they were good all year. I remember the first 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, all right, is this real or not? Is this real? Then it was. Then it's like the Royals playing good baseball. It's like, all right, how real is this? Then all of a sudden they keep winning. And you're like, okay, this must be real. Well, the defense just kept getting better and better and better. And they spent a lot of equity in the draft. That's 7 out of 10 picks 2 years ago on defense, 5 out of 7 last year. You know, as far as getting defensive players, this year they went more high on the offense, but they've been building up this defense to be a strong defense that gets to the quarterback, and it's got a lot of confidence, man. This isn't playing for a team where you're just waiting on Mahomes and Kelsey to go do their thing and score and win. The defense had to win games. Like, the defense had to go out and win games for the Chiefs. Now I think you have that offense coming back a little more with some weapons like Xavier Worthy. You bring in Hollywood Brown, which, you know what? That's what good teams do. That's what the Patriots did. It was a defensive team right away with Tom Brady. Then they went more into an offense. They didn't win rings with Randy Moss and Welker and company, but they became an offensive juggernaut. They didn't have that undefeated season until the Super Bowl with Randy and those guys. But the bottom line is, and they've kind of shifted towards defense. Now, I do feel they'll shift more towards offense, and they're unpredictable because now teams have to worry about the Chiefs' defense. It's not just worrying about Mahomes anymore. It's worrying about the defense. And Baltimore, I'm not expecting anything from that game. I think it's Baltimore earlier in the season. I don't think that Ravens played the Chiefs like they wanted to. The Chiefs kind of dictated the action with their defense and what went on, but I'm expecting a completely different Ravens team because they took a lot of criticism with how they played offensively against the Chiefs. I'm expecting much different from Baltimore. I don't know how much stock you can put in that AFC title game.
I think you can because I think it was a game plan game. Like that, I don't think... When you look at the way that the Chiefs played, early on, they did a good job against the run, and they said, beat us down the field. And they gave them looks that you would normally, like, teams would be like, okay, let's test them down the field. You know, you see, you know, a one high coverage there, and man everywhere else, and those guys are pressing at the line of scrimmage. You're like, okay, well, we got Zay Flowers. Was he like a 4-3 guy? 4-3-40 guy.
Zay made the big turnover.
Yeah, he was real fast, real athletic. You're like,
Zay's
okay.
A guy they liked. They'd seen him. That's the one thing about working at receivers. They kind of know your skill set.
Yeah, and they look at you and they're like, oh, he's fast. Okay. Yeah. Actually, no, Zay was actually like a low 4-4 guy, actually.
Like, I like what the Ravens have done offensively with their skill positions. Right. Odell didn't work out for him, but bringing in Derrick Henry, I think that's a... But I'm not worried. The Chiefs, We've seen Derrick Henry destroy him. That's happened. And we've seen the Chiefs limit Derrick Henry before. But eventually you can't be the same guy all the time.
Right. Like, but the thing is,
he will be fresh. But like, he should be fresh that first game.
The thing is the Chiefs are going to do the same thing, I think, that they did.
They lost Gus Edwards.
They'll give you looks that you want. And then they'll execute those.
Chiefs don't need to let them dominate on the ground because Baltimore has been the number one running team in football. They were again last year. But don't dominate on the ground. Give Mahomes as many opportunities as you can get. And I think that was kind of the game plan that you stick to this year.
I think that was why it was so important for them to, A, bring back Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell, because those two guys are great against the run, especially when they line up at the nose, they kill the run. Leo Chanel improved a ton against the run. He was very, very good in the Super Bowl against the run.
Tranquil.
Bringing him back, huge. I'm not really worried about the run game.
Healthy Bolton.
Yeah, healthy Bolton. That'll be real nice for him. I'm not too worried about the run game there. I think they're going to be able to force them into throwing. So the question is, are the Ravens good enough to beat you with the arm, and is Lamar going to be patient enough and take what the defense gives him, or is he going to try to go for those looks that the Chiefs try to give him and then get bit like he did in
They'd be worried it's going to be a different look than what they've seen. Hollywood Brown's going to be a different look. This is back to the speed element for the Chiefs and the fact that it's the first game of the year. You're not playing an AFC title game. The Chiefs played all this football, man, like they've done the last 6 years, played all this football. You get down to the Ravens game. You are worn out. Nobody's healthy at that point of the year. But this will be much different for them in this Ravens game. I'm looking forward to seeing a very healthy Chiefs unit.
Plus, I think the one thing you got to worry about, though, if you're the Ravens, now the Chiefs got speed. They didn't have that last year. They didn't. When they were playing, we were sitting there sweating that championship game.
And Rice isn't that guy either. So
no, he's not that. He's a 4.6.
They bring
guy.
In 4.27 and 4.21.
Yeah, he's not that fast.
Yeah,
actually, he's a 4.5 guy. But yeah, like
4.52, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 4.52, something like that. But he's not super fast. But the big thing is, like, now they have the home run hitting that they lacked when they played in that championship game, and that's really going to be where I think the big difference is. So now, and the Chiefs showed early on, once if they get them big plays, they can move the ball down the field. The mistakes started happening and you had penalties and whatnot, and that ended up hurting them. But like early on, they were taking it to the Ravens because they were going out there and executing very well, not making mistakes.
They were actually the more physical team,
right? They
which
were.
Doesn't happen with the Ravens.
Right. And so like, that's going to be really interesting here is like, you get a guy in Kingsley Suamataia who is a physical lineman. He likes to bulldoze guys. On your defense, you got some physical defensive backs you got there. Your defensive line is just full of monsters. I think their defensive line might be better than they were a year ago.
It's attitude, man. Like Mike Pinnell, I mean, for a guy that was on the practice squad, a guy that went ringed for you before, he brought that attitude. I mean, just watching the NFL films of the Super Bowl. So, like, that's a needed guy, man. You need a little bit of attitude.
Yeah.
And he's got it.
So I think it's going to be really apparent. I'll be really interested to see, like, I want the defense to be chippy like it was in training camp last year. Like, you remember they were chippy and they pissed off Travis Kelce?
They were getting in fights all the time. And what I kept telling people is, enjoy this because the defense is trying to do
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Some hype. Schedule release time is your baby. You made a big deal out of this well before the league did. And it was announced today by the league. Opener for the season, Thursday Night Football. Chiefs hosting the Baltimore Ravens, the team that they beat in the AFC Championship game in Baltimore, might I add. So now this one is going to be an Arrowhead. And it's interesting because the clock is accelerated for the team that wins the Super Bowl. And this is the reason why it's so hard to repeat as champion, because obviously if you win the Super Bowl, you're playing the latest of anybody except the team that lost the Super Bowl. But then right after that, you turn back around. You're in training camp earlier than everyone else because you're playing in the opener. And then you go and play in the opener, which is 3 days before anyone else. Though this year, it actually just be one day because of the Brazil game with the Eagles and Packers.
The good news is they have those extra days. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
right,
off.
Yeah, they get a little bit. Yeah, they get a little extra rest.
Kind of nice, because last year they didn't. Remember the first 6 weeks of the season, they had less rest than anybody. So yeah, that was the important thing. But obviously, this recorded on Monday night, and we don't know a lot of the answers. Even though the schedule's been trickling games out, we get to see Tom Brady, by the way, in 3:25 with the Cowboys Browns game, the first game of the year. It'll be interesting to watch. But you can sit back and watch some Red Zone and chill out on that weekend and enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking. Listen, Andy Reid, 28-3 after the bye in his career? I mean, it's crazy. Yes, he lost the game last year. You say, well, you know what, Jay, look, he had all...
Well, Kadarius Toney lost the game last year.
Yes, he had all summer. Yeah, Kadarius Toney, the
Sky
Branch.
Skymore lost
six.
The game for them last year.
They didn't have Chris Jones, they didn't have Travis Kelce. Right. So two Hall of Famers you didn't have
in
that game.
Your second and third best players on the team.
So you didn't have your guys in that game. So yes, that mattered. So, but if you're going to give Andy Reid... Basically, he knows now that it's going to be the Ravens, and Mahomes is 4-1 against Lamar Jackson. So you give him May, June, July, August. You expect good things. And you know what? I expect Baltimore to be there with Kansas City for that one seed at the end of the year.
Me
like
too.
I think this is a huge swing game for both these teams when you think about seeding. And last year, Chiefs got lucky. You know, they beat Miami early on in Germany, and there's because the thought was, you know, Miami was going to take this one seed. They win down in Jacksonville. Peter King and put that Jacksonville is going to be the number one seed. Clearly,
a lot of people
weren't.
Did, yeah.
But they won some pivotal games that, you know, were some tiebreaker type. The Buffalo game didn't hurt them because, you know, Buffalo really wasn't there for the one seed.
Not really.
And the Chiefs kind of let things slip away there, you know, for that one seed. But they have Baltimore in week one. Listen, it's Derrick Henry. It's going to be a ground game. You know exactly what they are. They're used to playing Lamar Jackson. The banner's going to be dropped. The Ravens are going to have to deal with the Chiefs who went into their house and beat them, and now they win the Super Bowl. I'm okay with that. It's just an NFL fan. I kind of wanted Houston. You know, C.J. Stroud, the up-and-coming. Can he be the next guy? Because we're always looking for the next guy. Is it Josh Allen? Is it Burrow? Is it Jack? Like, who wants to be that guy? Can C.J. Stroud be that guy? Because I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing and C.J. Stroud. So, but to be honest with you, either one of them's fine because I do feel that both of them will be fighting there towards the end. It would be very important for the Chiefs to beat either. So I'm okay with either one because I think Baltimore's going to be there at the end. And the fact you get them with basically the whole summer of preparation. I know Andy Reid prepares for everybody, but there'll be a lot of emphasis on the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, you know what I'm more interested in is what the defense does here because you got a lot of young guys on your roster right now in your secondary with, you know, you got Najee Johnson, you got Nick Jones, you got Jaden Hicks, you got Kamal Haddon. Like, you got a lot of young guys in your secondary there, Tremari Connor as well. I'll be interested to see, like, who ends up kind of, like, does McDuffie take the Snead role over that he had last year? And then you kind of
got that first team all pro going.
Right. And then you kind of, you know, you kind of mix different guys in the slot and he just plays exclusively outside or even shadows. I don't think he's going to shadow, but, you know, he could. or, you know, like, to me, the approach with the secondary is, I think, is going to be really important for the Chiefs. But the thing that I am going to be so interested in is now everything you do here on is more important. Camp, you know, mandatory, training camp, off season. It's going to be really important for these guys now. Because, like, most of the rookies that are going in and playing this year, there's not going to be a ton of expectations for the team that they play on. Most of those teams are going to be just trying to fight for a playoff spot. Some of those teams have no hope right now. And it's different, though, when you get drafted to a team that is coming off of two straight Super Bowl wins and is expected to be in great play, is the favorite to win a third straight Super Bowl. It now everything you do is magnified. Every mistake you make is magnified. We obviously saw that in the opener last year. Kadarius Toney pops the ball up, pick six, ends up being the game-losing play for the Chiefs. You know, Sky Moore had some drops as well. That was magnified. Now you look at that scenario, and Xavier Worthy's got a ton of pressure, like we talked about in the first segment. You're going to have a lot of pressure on those DBs back there because they're going to have to keep up that same physical play style that you saw with the Chiefs last year on defense. There's going to be a lot of people asking, okay, they lost Snead. Can they replace him? The offensive line, there's going to be questions at that left tackle spot. There's a lot of pressure on these kids, man. And this is not going to be easy. And now everything they do in the offseason, especially when they get to training camp, especially when they get to preseason, is going to be heavily scrutinized. And that's a lot of pressure, man.
The good news is the defense is finally getting respect. It didn't earn the respect last year. I don't even think it earned the respect.
Not until the playoffs.
And I think even that Eagles Super Bowl, they kind of took it to heart. You know, they were number two behind the Eagles in quarterback sacks. They were number two this year. It was the second best franchise year for the Chiefs to get into the quarterback. I think the Chiefs surprised everybody how many sacks they had last year and getting to the quarterback. And you had the number two ranked scoring defense in the NFL, and that's the only stat that matters. But then you brought everybody back. Like, you had the Neil Farrell under contract. Then all of a sudden you bring back Turk Warren. You signed Chris Jones, who was the biggest free agent signing, you know, of the offseason. To be honest with you, you're happy with your edges. You're hoping to get more out of Felix this year. We've seen George Karloftis, you know, turn that corner and be a formidable guy with double-digit sacks. But you bring back, you know, Derek Nnadi. You bring back this defensive line. You bring back this core. So it's not like they just brought him back. They brought back the number two defensive line. And that's a defense with a lot of confidence. This defense has more confidence than I've seen in Kansas City in decades. I mean, you have to go back to Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and those guys where that defense had that swagger. The defense has always been second fiddle. It's been about the offense and Mahomes and what they can do. And I think that towards the end of the year, the defense started getting a little credit. But it's always kind of funny to me.
It wasn't until the playoff wins.
Because they were good all year. I remember the first 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, all right, is this real or not? Is this real? Then it was. Then it's like the Royals playing good baseball. It's like, all right, how real is this? Then all of a sudden they keep winning. And you're like, okay, this must be real. Well, the defense just kept getting better and better and better. And they spent a lot of equity in the draft. It's 7 out of 10 picks 2 years ago on defense, 5 out of 7 last year. You know, as far as getting defensive players, this year they went more high on the offense, but they've been building up this defense to be a strong defense that gets to the quarterback, and it's got a lot of confidence, man. This isn't playing for a team where you're just waiting on Mahomes and Kelsey to go do their thing and score and win. The defense had to win games. Like, the defense had to go out and win games for the Chiefs. Now I think you have that offense coming back a little more with some weapons like Xavier Worthy. You bring in Hollywood Brown, which, you know what? That's what good teams do. That's what the Patriots did. It was a defensive team right away with Tom Brady. Then they went more into an offense. They didn't win rings with Randy Moss and Welker and company, but they became an offensive juggernaut. They didn't have that undefeated season until the Super Bowl with Randy and those guys. But the bottom line is, and they've kind of shifted towards defense. Now, I do feel they'll shift more towards offense, and they're unpredictable because now teams have to worry about the Chiefs' defense. It's not just worrying about Mahomes anymore. It's worrying about the defense. And Baltimore, I'm not expecting anything from that game. I think it's Baltimore earlier in the season. I don't think that Ravens played the Chiefs like they wanted to. The Chiefs kind of dictated the action with their defense and what went on, but I'm expecting a completely different Ravens team because they took a lot of criticism with how they played offensively against the Chiefs. I'm expecting much different from Baltimore. I don't know how much stock you can put in that AFC title game.
I think you can because I think it was a game plan game. Like that, I don't think when you look at the way that the Chiefs played, early on, they did a good job against the run. And they said, beat us down the field. And they gave them looks that you would normally, like, teams would be like, okay, let's test them down the field. You know, you see, you know, a one high coverage there and man everywhere else. And those guys are pressing at the line of scrimmage. You're like, okay, well, we got Zay Flowers. Was he like a 4-3 guy? 4-3-40 guy?
And Zay made the big turnover.
Yeah, he was real fast, real athletic. You're and like,
Zay's
okay.
The guy they liked. They'd seen him. That's the one thing about working at receivers. They kind of know your skill set.
Yeah, and they look at you and they're like, oh, he's fast. Okay. Yeah. Actually, no, Zay was actually like a low 4-4 guy, actually.
Like, I like what the Ravens have done offensively with their skill positions. Right. Odell didn't work out for him, but bringing in Derrick Henry, I think that's a. But I'm not worried. The Chiefs, we've seen Derrick Henry destroy him. That's happened, and we've seen the Chiefs limit Derrick Henry before. But eventually, you can't be the same guy all the time,
right? Like, but the thing is,
but
like,
he will be fresh. But like, he should be fresh that first game.
The thing is the Chiefs are going to do the same thing I think that they did.
They lost Gus Edwards.
They'll give you looks that you want. And then they'll execute those.
Chiefs don't need to let them dominate on the ground because Baltimore has been the number one running team in football. They were again last year. But don't dominate on the ground. Give Mahomes as many opportunities as you can get. And I think that was kind of the game plan they stick to this year.
I think that was why it was so important for them to, A, bring back Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell. Because those two guys are great against the run, especially when they line up at the nose, they kill the run. Leo Chanel improved a ton against the run. He was very, very good in the Super Bowl against the run.
Tranquil.
Bringing him back, huge. I'm not really worried about the run game.
Healthy Bolton.
Yeah, healthy Bolton. That'll be real nice for him. I'm not too worried about the run game there. I think they're going to be able to force them into throwing. So the question is, are the Ravens good enough to beat you with the arm, and is Lamar going to be patient enough and take what the defense gives him, or is he going to try to go for those looks that the Chiefs try to give him and then get bit like he did in
just
the,
different
in the
looks? They'd be worried it'd be a different look than what they've seen. Hollywood Brown's going to be a different look. This is back to the speed element for the Chiefs, and the fact that it's the first game of the year, you're not playing an AFC title game. The Chiefs played all this football, man, like they've done the last 6 years, played all this football. You get down to the Ravens game. You are worn out. Nobody's healthy at that point of the year. But this will be much different for them in this Ravens game. I'm looking forward to seeing a very healthy Chiefs unit.
Plus, I think the one thing you got to worry about, though, if you're the Ravens, now the Chiefs got speed. They didn't have that last year. They didn't. When they were playing, we were sitting there sweating that championship game.
And Rice isn't that guy either. So
no, he's not that. He's a 4.6
guy. They bring
guy.
In 4.27 and 4.21.
Yeah, he's not that fast.
Yeah.
Actually, he's a 4.5 guy. But yeah, like
4.52, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 4.52 or something like that. But he's not super fast. But the big thing is, like, now they have the home run hitting that they lacked when they played in that championship game. And that's really going to be where I think the big difference is. So now, and the Chiefs showed early on, you know, once if they get them big plays, they can move the ball down the field. The mistakes started happening and you had penalties and whatnot, and that ended up hurting them. But like early on, they were taking it to the Ravens because they were going out there and executing very well, not making mistakes.
They were actually the more physical team,
right? They
which
were.
Doesn't happen with the Ravens.
Right. And so like, that's going to be really interesting here is like, you know, you get a guy in Kingsley Suamataia who is a physical lineman. He likes to bulldoze guys. On your defense, you got some physical defensive backs you got there. Your defensive line is just full of monsters. You know, I think their defensive line might be better than they were a year ago.
It's attitude, man. Like Mike Pinnell, I mean, for a guy that was on the practice squad, a guy that went ring for you before, he brought that attitude. I mean, just watching the NFL films of the Super Bowl. So, like, that's a needed guy, man. You need a little bit of attitude.
Yeah.
And he's got it.
So I think it's going to be really apparent. I'll be really interested to see, like, I want the defense to be chippy like it was in training camp last year. Like, you remember they were chippy and they pissed off Travis Kelce?
They were getting in fights all the time. And what I kept telling people is, enjoy this because the defense is trying to do something. They're trying to strip the ball and agitate you. The defense, I can tell right away from training camp, the defense was different because they're trying to agitate you.
Yeah.
And you know what? This isn't a bad thing. Oh, they can't be hurt. This is a good thing. They finally get it.
You want them to be like that.
Absolutely,
because you want them to get in the heads of the offense.
Jaden Hicks like that, Kamal Haddon like
that.
They
did. When Zay Flowers out there talking trash and got that penalty, and then he got the ball punched out right after that. That right there, when Snead punched that ball out, that's how you knew.
They were bullying number one receivers. Look what they did to Tyreek Hill, man. Yeah. I mean, they were just knocking him around.
Bullied him. He got embarrassed on national TV,
they were knocking him around, man.
Like, on both games they played, he got embarrassed, man.
And they got some thumpers.
Yeah, and so that's where that – and so I'll be really interested. That's the thing on defense I'll be most interested in. How do they install that mindset with the new kids? You know, how do they get those guys to emulate that same type of energy? That to me is just going to be, I think, a lot of fun to watch. And we'll keep you updated on our thoughts on that as we close out this edition of the Character Concerns podcast. We will try to give you a preview of a mandatory mini camp, and certainly we'll react to what happens there. And certainly once we get into July, we'll give you a preview for the for training camp. And then, once we get to August, right back to it.
Don't be afraid to hit us up on Twitter at Three Guys in the Garage Me.
Yeah, at @Cerro60. CERROTO60.
Don't be hesitant. We'll be keeping you posted throughout the whole offseason. Yeah. Character Concerns rolls on like it did the last two drafts. And we'll keep this thing going through the offseason like we did last year. And have fun with it. And I hope you guys download, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast, because we appreciate all the listening last year.
And we'll give you some tips on NCAA once it comes out and we start playing it.
Yeah, the NCAA. Oh, and by the way, the Big Noon kickoff schedule came out. Texas, Michigan, September 7th. So there's some good games, man.
Texas is going to be a team to watch because they even though they lost a lot of guys to the draft, they still have a few guys left over there. A lot of interesting things are going to be happening over the next few months. So we'll keep you posted on that. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osiero. This has been the Character Concerns podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.